Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DeathStareProducts.com anime podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Fuck Down Sponsors, but today it is brought to you by Split Reason. Geek stuffs for peoples who are geeks. Click the bottom of the page to get yourself some awesome shirts and other geek stuff. Or if you want to get some shirts that aren't as good, go to DeathStareProducts.com/store. We have shirts, we have hoodies, we have sleeves, and we are still holding our open audition kind of things for art. So if you have art that you would like to make, that you'd like to make into a shirt, send it to us. If we like it, we'll make it into a shirt, and we'll give you a cut of the profits. Or if you just want, or you feel like giving us money, go to thestarpros.com/indiegogo. That is IndieGogo, and donate some money. It'll help make everything we do better. It'll help It'll help us make more stuff for you guys. Or if you don't want to do that, then help spread the word. And by the time this goes up, I will have made it. So go to DeathStareProducts.com/extralife, which is all one word, to donate to the DeathStareProducts.com Extra Life. This is the charity that's happening. All proceeds are going toward Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And whoever donates the most money will be joining us for our live 24-hour broadcast on that day, which is
October. A correction there. That was meant to be the person who joins our team and collects the most money.
Wait.
So, like, if someone wanted to join our team and collect pledges,
okay.
We could also bring in the top donator. We could do both.
That's what I thought this entire thing was. Like you said, hey, top person, bring guns and thing. It's like, okay, so the person who gives us the most money.
No, it's supposed to be the top team member. But we'll do both. We'll do the top donator and the top team member. Whatever.
What if the top team member is a staff member?
I specifically said other than a Death Door Prod staff member.
Okay, so yeah, donate the most you get to come on, join our team, and collect the most you get to come on, and it'll be 24 hours of us acting like dumbasses. Again, I'm not entirely sure of its status as a reward, but so yeah, I'm your host, the Dead Man. Joining me today, as always, we have Bovion.
Hello.
And Punchatron.
Yahoo.
Yeah, so this is going to be a change of format from what we regularly do. We talked about this last week. We talked about this last episode. I'm not sure if we actually talked about it on air. But so what we're going to be doing from now on is every week, myself, Bovie, and Pudge will pick one anime each. Each of us will watch 5 episodes, or if it's a manga, we'll read, like, X number of chapters. We haven't really determined, like, a minimum limit for manga readings, have we?
I think with manga, you kind of know when you've read enough.
Yeah.
And it goes pretty quick.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing that, and then we're going to be talking about those 3 anime or manga. And so that way it'll help us. That way it'll be... It's instead of having Bobby talking about Bodacious Space Pirates and Pudge talking about 20,000 anime that we've never heard of.
This way
we'll be able to talk more in depth about each thing and be able to actually have conversations because all of us will have watched it or read it at some point. So yeah, we have our 3 for this week. I have chosen High School of the Dead. Bobby, what was your pick?
My pick was Guilty Crown.
And Pudge?
And I chose Bakano.
Okay. So yeah, we're going to talk about these 3 series for the next hour or so. And with this, we'll also be opening up to the... We'll also be opening up the floor to you guys. So if you have anime or manga that you want us to talk about, then you can post that in the forum thread for this episode or in the comments for this episode. And we will take it under advisement if we think it looks interesting. Well, then we'll pick it and we'll be able to talk about it in depth. So, hey, you can make us watch horrible things.
Maybe.
Yes, maybe.
Now, this doesn't apply to pornography.
No, we will not be talking about hentai on this thing. Well, no.
No. No.
No.
Don't open that door. Once you've opened it, it stays open.
Yeah, there'll be a flood of, like, 20,000 tentacle rape scenes, and then one that's actually not that terrible.
Don't forget the yaoi.
Oh, so much yaoi. So much yaoi. I guess, yeah, we're going to talk about High School of the Dead, Guilty Crown, and Bakano. So, Pudge, we'll start with Bakano.
All right.
Yeah, so give us a rundown of the series as brief and sensical as you can. That's a word, right?
It is. Cool. Yes, I'm just laughing at trying to do that to Baccano.
Yeah, I know.
I could do it if you want.
Yeah, Baccano is fucking insane.
It is a strange beast. It's a story told in anachronistic order, which means it jumps around in time.
Oh, God.
Ranging from 1930 to 1932. Mm-hmm. And so, 31, 32 are the years that it takes place in. And it follows a wide cast of characters and what happens to them.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure the opening credits for this thing is just like, it isn't like a like minute 50 for it, and like 30 seconds of that is like preview of what happened in the last episode, like recap what happened in the last episode, and then the rest of it is just characters.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, the standard minute and a half opening sequence intercut with something that happened from an important event from the last episode.
Yes, and the rest of it is just introducing characters.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the exact same format as Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
They're made by the same people.
I know. I'm gonna talk more about that. Don't worry.
But basically, it follows sort of three groups in specific. And three groups of people. There's a train.
The Flying Pussyfoot.
Yes, the Flying Pussyfoot is the name of the train.
The greatest name for the train ever.
And then there's a sort of gang war. And that sort of spans over a couple years, actually. It's the gang war, really.
Yeah, I think it's the Martillos, the Ganors, and the Genoards. Those were like the three main families.
Let's see. Yeah, there's the Martillo. There's the Genoards. There's Eve Genoard searching for her older brother.
Yes, her.
Dallas, which happens in 1932. There's the disaster on the Flying Pussyfoot, and there's sort of the stories centered around Fearo.
Yeah. I know I know that everyone's gonna think I'm like 12 for this, but every time we say the Flying Pussyfoot, I'm gonna giggle.
But yeah, that's as much as Baccano in a nutshell as I can really explain without ruining the show.
Yeah, but we're probably gonna get into what's like the main big thing with Queso.
Yeah,
I guess
now, spoilers.
Yeah, so spoiler is all about. It's also about immortals.
Yeah, there's a huge under subplot with immortals and the elixir of life.
From the first episode, it looks like this entire thing is like being told to like the vice president of the Daily Days, which is probably the greatest newspaper in the world. if that thing was real, I would apply to that place in a second.
They're like the American Isaiah.
Oh yeah,
I'll be constantly drawing comparisons, and
it is an organization that equals one dude.
But they have guns.
Oh, so many guns! They don't know parkour.
Or so, as far as you know.
Yeah, as far as I know. But yeah, so it's kind of weird, like with jumping around everything, because you're never entirely, because like when I was watching it, I was never entirely sure like who was immortal at what points.
Yeah, that is an issue. Now, I kind of came across a spoiler that's not really a spoiler, but so my question is, obviously there's an incomplete formula and there's a complete formula. So I'm guessing some characters are going to be getting complete formulas, and I could say with about 90% certainty that Isaac and Media are going to get the perfect formula.
Oh, no doubt.
Because of the fact that they show up in Da-da-da-da.
Well, yeah, they're the greatest characters ever.
Yeah. They are insane. Miria is just... I fucking love Miria.
So, like, I watched Da-da-da-da first, so I had no idea who those characters were when they showed up. I'm like, oh, it's just like some American tourists or something. But then as soon as episode 2 hit, I'm like, oh, it's them.
It's been a while since I've watched Da-da-da-da because I do not remember them.
Yeah,
scene towards the end of the series.
Not towards the end. They show up at the first Dollars Gathering, which means that they're part of the Dollars, meaning that the total count of immortals in and the dollars is $3.
Yeah. That is insane. And that's actually kind of awesome that there's that whole crossover thing going on between the two shows.
Yeah. That's...
Oh, yeah. They're in the same universe and everything, so...
Mm.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so we only watched the first five... Well, I'm not sure about these two guys, but I only watched the first five episodes of this, so we will only be talking about the first five episodes. I'll talk about the first five episodes. They might be talking about some other stuff, because I don't know how far they watched it.
I've only watched five episodes so far. I'm going to watch more really soon, though.
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the whole thing multiple times.
Yes, I also looked up some stuff on Wikipedia.
I hate that Wikipedia.
It's helpful, like... Like, so at the very beginning when, like, Carol was talking to Jermaine St. Gervain or something, whatever the vice president's name is, saying, like, and they're like, well, did it start in the 1930s? Did it start here? Did it start, like, in 1783 and just have, like, that one image of those guys have, like the giant rune on the floor carved into their ship?
Oh, yeah, they get more into that. They actually have a couple episodes dedicated to
when they summoned the demon.
Yeah, I do find the one thing that you mentioned before, Deadman, is it is kind of hard to follow who's immortal and who's not. I just assume that every main character is immortal.
Yeah,
it's probably a bad assumption to make.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, there's one bit in one of the first couple episodes with Firo and Luck. They're like in a bookshop, and like some guys are like do a proper drive by, just brrr, like mowing the fuck down, and then Firo runs out because he's immortal then. But then you go back, like, you go to the next episode, and then he, like, cuts Mizai, I think his name is. When they're having the knife fight for him to join the Kimura. He cuts him, and then
I could explain that before you even mention it. Because the first scene you see him in, that happens in 1931. Mm-hmm. And then the scenes we're watching with him in the next episode is 1930. Am I right with that, or am I slightly off the timeline?
I'm pretty sure, he just becomes the Kimura.
Mm-hmm. The first episode is actually later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's why he's immortal then.
Yeah, like another thing that's kind of weird is sometimes they'll show the date, like in 1932 this is happening, but then other times it'll just start jumping around randomly through time, so I'm never entirely sure when it's taking place.
Well, they only have a couple of different timelines happening within the show, and they're... Mm-hmm. Very distinct from each other, so they don't really need to show you the times.
Yeah, I mean, like, they only have a couple different timelines, but then it's kind of hard, figuring out what comes before certain stuff, so for some things.
I don't know, I managed to follow it.
Yeah, I managed to follow it, but it just took some thought.
But yeah, I can guarantee it all comes together beautifully at the end.
I'm sure it does.
I don't doubt it.
If by comparison to da-da-da-da, if it goes anything like that, seemingly unconnected points will all come together perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the last couple episodes are just kind of like, holy crap! That is this, and this, and this happened because of this, and...
Yes, mind equals blown.
A series of just...
And really... Whole
revelations.
Whole cities go into chaos because of three high schoolers. Wrong series, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, one of them...
Universe, different series.
You know, one of them has a demon sword living inside them.
I won't be able to help but compare when talking about Bakano, because obviously I saw da-da-da-da first, and that caused me to see... Now, here's the odd thing about it being the same universe, though, is that Bakano is the password for the Dollars website. So it's like the anime exists in its own universe.
Or maybe the Daily Days collected all the stories from them and called it Bakano and then released it as a trade paperback.
That could be it.
Yeah, think about it.
There's also another series in this sort of universe. I'm not sure when it takes place. It's called Vamp, but I can't seem to find much. There's not a whole lot of information on it. It wasn't really...
Man.
A major release or anything.
I now want this to turn out like the Avengers. Just like all these things like taking place like different times, but they're all in the same universe, and then eventually just all comes together in some huge climactic event.
That's probably exactly what's going to happen.
It's where they're battling Loki.
Yeah. Actually, in the first five episodes, did you run into the Rail Tracer yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
the Rail Tracer.
as you get along in the series, I can give you a pretty good guarantee that he will quickly become your favorite character.
Oh, he is fucking awesome, but
I don't know, Firo is, like, so on top right now.
Yeah. And I know I might be in, like, the minority of this, but I kind of like Jacuzzi.
Oh, yeah, Jacuzzi's awesome, too.
He's fun, I mean, but he's annoying, but he's fun.
He's just constantly flipping the fuck out over everything.
And there's Isaac and Media.
Yeah.
Who are just, they're kind of stupid, and then they continue to be stupid for a really, really long time.
Like, Miria, she is, I'm pretty sure her head's empty. But Isaac, he is, like, his head is also empty, but he pretends it's full of stuff, and then Miria's just like, oh, it's okay! And, yeah, those two are, blah.
So, the download I got was dual audio.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, proper. So I accidentally listened to some of the dub. And
oh, I did too.
It's not too bad.
I listened to, like, the first, I think it was, like, 2 minutes of Carol and the Vice President, and I was like, no.
Yeah, well, I kind of just ended up hearing parts randomly. Some of it was really bad. Some of it was okay.
Carol.
Some of it was honestly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of always a thing with these shows, like... Like, you always go in there, like, some of it's good, some of it's bad, but the average usually just gets to the point where, like, yeah, I gotta watch the sub.
With very few exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Usually with older series.
Yeah. But yeah, so, one thing, so I want to talk about the music. I fucking love the music in this show. I love all the jazz music in it. It's great. Like, the opening title sequence, like, the music for that is some of my favorite opening title sequence music ever.
Mm-hmm. Easily.
Yes. It's really great they have it set in, like, that time period, so that you can just have that really just fantastic just jazz music throughout the entire time. It's like when Firo started fighting those guys who were going after the guy with the immortality serum. Like, immortality elixir stuff.
Yeah.
That fight music was great.
Yep. I mean, like, just any music
is
just gonna be amazing. Yeah. And there's the one series that I was really kind of excited about. I forget what it is. Sakamichi no Apollon, I think, mm-hmm. is what it's called. Or something like that. Something no Apollon. And it's based in almost entirely around that kind of music.
That sounds awesome.
Isn't it similar for Cowboy Bebop? Well, that's not quite the same, but...
Yeah. Like, I guess...
Whereas Samurai Champloo, which is by the same guy who does Cowboy Bebop, is very focused around hip-hop.
Yeah.
It's kind of his thing. He focuses around styles of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's that. What else are we going to talk about? Actually, I want to talk about the Rail Tracer. So that just kind of came out of left field for me. Like, I know in a series where it's all about immortals and stuff, but just seeing, like, a train demon?
It makes a lot more sense later on.
Yeah, no, but just... The thing is, like, alright, so immortals, yeah, then Rail Tracer, oh, it's just a funny story, but that's actually going to lead in. And then the guy says, I've heard similar stories about, like, the Luinarts or whatever they're called, who are trying to rescue Huey. Then, like, I figured, like, oh, it's going to be just, like, I figured, like, Ojikuzi's going to run into them. It's like, oh my god, it's the Rail Tracer, run away. But then, no, it was just fucking... smoke demon with glowing eyes who rips people out of trains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, like, the people in that train, they go insane way too quickly. like when they first introduce the Rail Tracer, like the guy, like the two guys walk outside and then just boom. What was that? And just goes outside and then the guy is just fucking insane. And then he gets rushed out of the train and the other guy who just watched it, he just flips the fuck out instantly.
Well, yeah.
He just saw a smoke demon rip a guy off the train.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be like the standing there like, then like grabbing your head and freaking out. It'd be like, oh fuck, I'm gonna run back inside and bolt all the windows. And then slowly like, right, so that can't be real. They just like slowly building up, and then you eventually think everything is a trail trace, and you start shooting random people. You know, like the insanity is. The insanity thing was just a bit much for me. Like, I know saying
they're
that...
They're high-strung guys.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, they're gangsters. Yeah. Pulling off...
They're gangsters.
that are targets.
Yeah.
So it's like, at all times, they're probably going to be pretty high strung.
Yeah. Okay, so...
But yeah, the rail tracer becomes one of the most interesting characters, just how odd he is.
Yeah.
Because, spoiler alert, it is actually a person.
Is it that lady who climbed out the window when the guys first took over the dining car?
No, there's actually a weird romance between them, though.
Sexy.
You can't pull me out of the train, I'm already hanging on the bottom.
Yeah, I was like, you can't pull me out of the train, I'm already naked.
Yeah, the rail tracer pulls off has some of the more amazing fights later on once you realize who he is and everything, so, and, you know,
he's not a smoke demon.
Sort of smoke demon thing, which, I mean, as you watch it, you'll find out is more the people's perception.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does make sense, because the scenes where you see the smoke monster, everything's drawn differently. It could easily just be, you know, this is their perception, this is what they think is happening, because what the fuck is going on? People are being pulled off this train.
Mm. Yeah, like, when I saw the smoke, when I saw, like, the rail tracer for the first time, it kind of reminded me of Celtie a bit, like, with her whole animations with her scythe.
See, yeah, if I didn't know that Celtie had only been to Ireland and Japan over that timeline, that would have been like, black thing comes up on trains. Yeah, actually, she could have potentially gone to America in that time and be like, huh.
Yeah, but his head was attached to his body.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that just when hearing the story, not not after we saw it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, that could be Celtie. He's like, oh, no, it has a head.
Pretty much.
Okay, so, on the train, I want to talk about Lad.
Alright.
I like Lad.
Crazy Lad.
I like Lad. He is just...
Yes, you would.
He is my kind of character. Just fucking insane.
I like him, but I'm also disturbed by him.
Oh yeah, he is not a healthy person. But he is awesome. Like, just... Like, when they first introduce him, he's like... Like, when they kind of first introduce him, introduce him to the lead dudes, the Huey dudes, and he just, like, the guy, like, goes to pull his gun on him, and he just, like, punches it up and shoots the guy behind him and just, like, beats the guy to death in boxing. That was awesome.
That was fucking brutal.
That was fucking awesome. You'll speak no ill of him. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about? All right. Or shall we move on?
Nothing in particular.
I think we can move on.
Okay, so, Bobby, your series.
My series, Guilty Crown. Okay, so, basically, how this series starts out is, many years ago, there was a virus that took hold in Japan.
The apocalypse virus.
The apocalypse virus, yes.
I almost said the Tokyo virus.
Tokyo virus. Anyways, after the apocalypse virus really started to ravage the country, and there were riots and everything... the rest of the world was like, okay, we'll pitch in, but afterwards you're going to be an occupied nation. They agree, they get the help, and now they're an occupied nation.
Yes, occupied by the GHQ.
The GHQ. Don't expect me to remember shit like that.
Yeah, I just watched it, so it's fresh in my mind for the next half hour.
So, there's also this rebellion group. Tell me if any of this sounds familiar for those of you who've watched Code Geass. There's mechs, by the way, that the GHQ uses for a severe tactical advantage. So there's this rebellion group, and our main character is a high school student who just kind of happens to randomly get caught up in one of their battles. During this time, a beautiful and oddly clad girl bestows him with a special power, which is the Void Genome, which basically allows him to pull out of people's chests that person's void.
Which the science behind that is stupid.
Yes. Anyways, so a person's void is a specific shape that represents them. And so he pulls out the void from Inori? That's her name?
Yes, Inori.
Inori.
Lead singer of Egoist.
Yes. And... Yeah, he pulls out her void, which is a sword, which he's able to use to fight mechs.
Because, yeah. And also runes. Hell of runes.
Yes.
Anytime he steps, anytime he attacks, anytime he blocks, just runes.
So, they're basically now he's given the choice to join the rebellion or leave, and being the coward that he is, this is where you're going to start noticing differences from Code Geass. He says, fuck this, I'm going back to high school. But his encounters with the rebellion aren't over, but I'm not going to get into spoiler territory yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, full disclosure, I've only watched 2.5 episodes of this because I watched a lot of High School of the Dead and I have exams coming up. It was about a 99.9 to a 0.1 split between those two. I'll let you guys guess which is which.
Well, considering you watched 4 extra episodes of High School of the Dead, and you only needed to watch 2.5 more episodes of Guilty Crown to have watched the quota, I'm actually not going to judge you, because I didn't watch all of High School of the Dead, but I had different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just one thing I want to bring up with the series. So, at the very beginning, like, first episode, the kid, I think his name's Shu.
Yep.
Yeah, so Shu, he is, like, so Inori, like, he meets Inori in the, like, abandoned school place where he's editing his video, and then the guys come along, and it's like, they point guns at him and stuff, and then he backs off, because, you know, hey, guns, reasonable. But then everyone starts ragging on him about it. It's like, oh, you're just a coward. It's like, I just kind of expected, like, motherfucker, I'm a high school student, they are a highly trained and armed army unit, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
You know what? That is one point where he's reasonable, but over a lot of the series, he's kind of a coward until, like, I don't know, episode 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I remember seeing that. Like, he, like, the plan's going on, he's just, like, sitting there freaking the fuck out. But then he, you know, gets the sword, then he goes awesome, then he reaches into the dude and pulls out the kaleidoscope. Which, the kaleidoscope is awesome. Well, yeah, so I actually want to talk about the science of this thing, because The two things I want to talk about in science. So, first thing, the void is the, like, untapped ability of introns. So, introns are the junk parts of the DNA. They're just kind of like, they're, like, during DNA replication, like, they have, like, they have a DNA strand, they have, like, introns and exons. They cut out the introns and leave only the exons in the DNA. So, and, like, the introns are just, like, broken up and then left to roam around to single nucleotides. Some science for your ass. So, they don't really seem like they'd have power of any kind.
Well, why not? Just because they're not used for day-to-day living, which is why they're discarded, doesn't mean they don't have any power.
Yeah, they're also, like,
they have functions, they're just not perceived as needed by the body.
Yes, until a kid with a crown tattoo sticks his hand into your chest.
Well, yeah.
You know, match.
I mean, it's 2039. What do you expect? The whole 27 years in the future, dude.
The whole 27 years. Where we'll have mechs, which still have force feedback for some reason. Like, that's the other weird thing. Like, they have the guys, they're in the, like, the mechs, they aren't, like, while they are piloted, they are remote piloted. Like, they have the person, they put them in, like, a little helmet thing, put them in, like, a little chair, and then the mech just kind of runs off while they control it. But any damage done to the mech is felt by the person as damage. Why?
So they don't carelessly throw away billion-dollar robots?
Well, I'm going to tell you why later on in the series. It's so that they can make boobs jiggle.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. I was like, Bailout just jumps out, then boobs.
Like, that's one thing I've heard about the series, is a lot of the mech fighting involves a lot of boob jiggling. So that's why they have the force feedback, just so that they can jiggle some boobs.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense from a strategical standpoint, because, hey, we got these mechs, but then, oh, you take the... They're like, oh, you got your arm cut off. The guy feels like he got his arm cut off, and then you lose soldiers. Which is just... I know I'm probably stupid about this, but still, it's... Fucking... Blah, blah, blah.
It's negative reinforcement. Teaching them to not get hit. I mean, I'm sure it's not full 100% force feedback, because then they, you know, die immediately.
Yeah, just I have phantom limb pains, but I still have my limbs.
Yeah. And, you know, their robot gets cut in half. They get disconnected. They don't die. I mean, they probably get a... I think they get a weird sort of headache thing from it, but, like, they don't die at all.
You know, like, that one girl, she was getting, like, shot to hell, then she was reacting like she was feeling every single bullet, and then, like, bail out, and she comes out, and she's like, she can, like, barely breathe or something, and then she's in a wheelchair. Because, yeah. Oh, well.
Meh.
Yeah, I'm being needlessly anal about all this. It's a fun series. Like, it's kind of cool. I am just surprised at all the runes. And why everything in this show was a virus.
Like, yeah, just because.
Like, you got the populace virus, you got the genome virus, you got this virus, you got that virus, and then... Yeah, it is... Viruses up the ass.
Does Shu get any more likable throughout the series?
I don't know. I haven't watched any more than the first 5 episodes. At episode 5, there's this moment where I can kind of swear I see his testicles drop, or I at least hear them drop. It's just like, thunk.
Yeah. But he only drops one. You gotta get something for the series finale.
He just seems like a completely unlikable character, and I guess that's how they set him up, but it's like...
I've had someone argue with me that, like, this show is better than Kogias because the characters are more likable. It's like, well, one, likable characters doesn't make a better anime, and two, no, he's a chicken shit. Lelouch might be a dick, but he's awesome.
Yeah, like, when you were describing this show, like, doing, like, your whole thing of comparing it to something, I got more of a Eureka 7 vibe from it.
Well... I'm just saying the first episode is constructed almost exactly like Code Geass, except instead of having a genius character, you have an idiot character.
So Eureka 7.
And his ability is more direct for fighting mechs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like when you like describe it, it's like, oh, some guy...
I've seen Eureka 7, so...
It's kind of the same thing, like, this kid, he's just, like, in a town, and then, oh, my life sucks, and then, oh, shit, battle shows up, and then kind of weird girl with odd-colored hair comes out and says, come with me. And then, mech battles.
Surfing mech battles.
Yeah, surfing mech battles, so... It's already more awesome, bruh.
I don't know, though, just specifically the idea of the occupied Japan.
Yeah, that thing is a bit weird. That thing is more probably Code Geass, because... Because in Eureka 7, they're not on Earth.
Right.
Yeah, so back on topic.
But there's a difference there, actually. That'd be the one main difference, is you're not entirely sure if the GHQ is really a bad organization in itself, or if it just has some bad people in it.
Oh, whereas... yeah, because I kill them all, Daryl.
Yeah,
that, like, motherfucker.
They could honestly be a good organization trying to do something good, but they have assholes within their ranks who keep fucking everything up.
Who they keep sending to Japan.
Yeah.
Yes, well, where else to send the rubbish? But,
oh, you got this shit racial now.
Anyways, oh god, we're never going to be accepted for that live thing.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil the surprise.
So there is kind of that idea of you're not ever entirely sure if you're rooting for the right side, whereas in, like, Code Geass, it's like, yeah, they're bad, they're ruled by a bad guy, they're bad.
Yeah, like, we don't really see any of the top brass. We just, like, the only real thing that we've seen has been, like, an allusion to the top brass of, like, when Daryl first shows up. It's like, try to do that again, and I'll tell my papa on you. Which I'm guessing will result in horrible, horrible death. But then we just see Daryl actually go out into the battlefield, and, like, oh god, please save my son. It's like, you touch me, bitch, I'm gonna kick you to death. Yeah, and then also, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this... Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying.
And I take offense that in Code Geass, the Britannians are led by a bad person. They're led by an awesome person named Norio Wakamoto. I risked my case.
Yeah. Case closed.
That's a different anime, Deadman. What are you talking about?
Okay. I was referring to Phoenix Wright, you know. Case closed.
I wasn't.
You win.
I was referring to Detective Conan.
Yep. So, back on topic. Anything else you guys want to say about Vince Crown?
No, I'm pretty much good with Guilty Crown.
Actually, I do want to talk about the mech design. It looks not great to me.
They are a bit awkward. Well, like, for something that doesn't have to have a pilot in it, they certainly went for a very inhuman design, whereas other mech shows have managed a more humanoid and streamlined design while figuring out a way to put a cockpit in it.
Yeah, like with Guilty Crown's thing, it's all like, I'm pretty sure, like, transforming mechs is like, hey, we're a car, and then, oh shit, no, we're a kind of bipedal thing. And then you have Daryl with his prototype mech. With the gun and the Blyven. This is going to be a terrible new format.
But I must say, though, actually, so spoiler alert, in episode 5, they kill the leader, or they... You think the leader of the rebellion is killed by this weapon of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Now...
Guy, no!
And they were waiting for the main character to come around to their side and use the tracking device so that they could find out where the entire rebellion was staying.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thought. Why not hold off on the weapon of mass destruction? Wait until he comes around to your side and activates that tracking device, because he is... a chicken shit. He'll do it eventually.
Oh, he's a little bitch.
Then, wherever that signal's coming from, use the weapon of mass destruction there.
Yeah, they're not exactly the smartest organization.
Now, yeah. With that, you get the entire rebellion with the leader gone.
Hmm.
But, with what they did, well, now you've scared him off of using the thing, because he knows you have a weapon of mass destruction. You made him think that you're the enemy, and you've basically wasted the element of surprise.
Yeah.
They know you have it now.
Yeah, fuck that.
Oh, and you fueled the rebellion by showing the public what you're capable of.
Yes, now more people will start joining the funeral parlor.
Which is the name of the rebellion.
Yes.
We hadn't mentioned it yet, actually.
Because
I don't remember it.
Yep, funeral parlor. Which is, it's actually a kind of cool name, and like their entire like agenda thing, like we speak for those who've been selected out of nature. I kind of like that. Like, I don't know why, I just kind of like his whole speech of what the funeral parlor does.
Anyways, yeah, I guess now we can move on.
Yeah, so High School of the Dead, tits and zombies. That is
summary
all.
Over.
Yeah, so it's set in a high school. It starts out in a high school, obviously, where a zombie breakout happens, and then it's happening through all of Japan, and then the kids all run off and be awesome.
I like the chubby geeky kid.
Ah, yes. Fuck, what's his name?
I don't know. We could just call him Chubbles.
Yeah.
Like, or Chunky. We'll call him Chunky.
Yeah, but like, so one of my favorite things about this show is, so, in essence, it's kind of a standard zombie thing of, like in most, like, with a lot of the zombie stuff I've seen from Japan, it's been like, oh, hey, so these things are zombies, like, but that's not a zombie. Too bad. This is kind of standard, like, Romero-style zombie kind of things, where, like, you bite, you turn, you, like, slow, you have to shoot him in the face to kill him. But, yeah, and so, like, with a lot of the Western-style one of these, everyone is like always trying to keep their humanity. It's like, oh, we gotta stay human, we gotta stay all this, stay all that. But then them, yeah, but then in this one, it is just, they get to indulge in all their insane shit. Like, there's one bit where they're on the bus.
And in this one, it's the orgy bus.
Yes, well, there's the orgy bus for one thing. But then there's also this, before the orgy bus where they're on the bus, and then Chunks, or Chubby or whatever his name is, he just shoots Shida-sensei, like, grazes his face, and he just, like, like, the world's gone like this now. I can finally start killing people.
Because, all together now, Japanese high school students are sociopaths.
Yes, and even Psycho, like, this happens later in the series, but while she and the main character, Takagi, there's a girl called Takagi. But yeah, so Takagi and Psycho, again, she's named fucking Psycho. I know that's probably not intentional, but still.
But yeah, I believe it's pronounced Psycho, but, you know, said quickly it comes out as Psycho.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're running along, they're running away from the zombies, and then she, like, reveals to him that before all this happened, she beat a homeless man to death and got off on it. And so then, immediately afterwards, when they're, like, going outside, they're going through the zombies, she's, like, slicing them all to hell, and then there's just, like, a freeze frame with a giant text that says, "I'm getting wet." I am not kidding about this. Fudge, you've seen it. Back me up.
Yeah.
It is just, she is slicing people's heads open, and this is turning her on. Which, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is insane that I love the direction they go with this, because, like, in any other show they'd have, like, all these characters trying to, like, keep their humanity and trying to keep themselves from becoming, like, the insane animals that they're fighting everywhere, but they're like, no, we're just as insane.
Well, yeah, but basically, like, I think this is more of a thing, like, one of the major reasons people say that there's the big zombie craze right now is that zombies look like people. They die like people, but they're not people, so we don't have to feel guilty about killing them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they're saying that deep down in your heart, everybody wants to murder everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. You know, when I'm sitting on a train that takes 2 hours, and I've got obnoxious college students on the train, I want to start murdering people. I want to murder everyone in the train car. Yeah. I mean, I don't hide it. I want to murder people all the time.
I don't actually do it.
Yes.
I think of 7 different ways to murder every person I meet. That's what I do when I'm bored in class. Is there's like, how would I kill everyone in this room?
I tend to make lists of those I would spare.
I spare no one.
Well, fuck you then. You're off my list.
No, seriously, like, ever
on my list.
Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, when I get bored, I just think of ways to kill people. I can tell you, like, sitting in math class where I first met the nameless one, I thought, like, every single day I was going there, it's like, I wonder how much blood would come out of the math teacher's neck if I stabbed her in the neck with a ruler.
Who was your math teacher?
The fat.
I know who your math teacher was.
The fat bitch.
Was it Satan? You know who I mean if I say Satan.
I am not sure, but she kept touching me.
No, Satan didn't touch people. She was just evil.
This one was just a bitch, and she was fat. Yeah.
Well, this quickly degraded into a talk about human nature.
Hey, it plays, like, we're talking about high school and dead things.
There was a math teacher I probably wrote her name in my death note and then hid the page so that people didn't accuse me of threatening to kill her. That can happen. You can be arrested for writing people's names in fake death notes.
I know. But yeah, so back on topic. So one guy I want to talk about is Shido-sensei. The Cooper of this universe. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before, but for those of you not initiated, I have decided that in every single zombie movie there is a Cooper. So in the original George Romero's 1963 Night of the Living Dead, there's a character called Cooper. He was the guy in the basement. And what he would do is he would do anything he could to undermine the true leader of the group and try to take control, and always end up getting royally fucked for it. Shido is Cooper. Only on a bus. And sexy. Well, sex.
You meant, like, sexy, not sexy.
Yes. He is a very scrawny, skinny dude. He kind of reminds me of Gein from Bleach. Like, he does have the same kind of, like, snake weasel-like face that Gein has.
Gein's face is supposed to be a fox, but I digress.
It's... it is, he looks very similar to Gene. And, like, when we first introduced the character, you know, it's like, oh, look, he's this all, he's like this huge, glorious, like, guy. He's like, I'm defending my, I'm, like, staying behind so I can get all the students on the bus for us. And he's like, quick, everyone, go on. And there's, like, one student running behind him, and he trips, spills the book. It's like, oh, no, Tsuda-sensei, please save me. It's like, well, then, I guess the week, this world, the week left behind, he just drop kicks him in the face, and then just walks off while he's being eaten behind him, screaming. And he's just, and she just starts smiling. And then as soon as he gets on the bus, they're driving along, and then he starts trying to form some kind of cult on the bus by undermining the guys who saved everyone. And it is awesome. Like Shido is a horrible, horrible person, but he is perfect for that character. They said, we need to make this guy evil, and they made him fucking evil.
Yep.
You guys' thoughts on Shido?
I think I've only watched a couple episodes, so I don't really think I've seen him yet.
Minor spoilers. I'm sure you guys all see this. I'm sure both of you saw this coming, but I really liked it when he died.
Oh, it was so perfect. Yeah, so this is... spoiler, but... So eventually, after everyone leaves the bus, well, all the main characters leave the bus, he forms a sex cult on the bus. But you see, he doesn't have sex with anyone. He just gets everyone else to have sex. Because, yeah.
He's weird like that.
Yeah, he's voyeuristic. But yeah, so he just gets... So yeah, it's an entire bus, like... with seven or eight high school students on it. They're all just fucking each other all the time. And she was just driving along and was like, yes, quite. So that he eventually pulls up to Takagi's house, which is this huge mansion that's like fortified, they have guns and all that shit.
Yeah, it's basically been turned into an armored compound.
Yeah. And so then as they're leaving, as that bus is leaving, Rei, I think her name is, I think she and Takashi and someone, they convinced Takagi's parents to, make him leave with the sex bus. But then as they're leaving, the bus flips over. And they just get all eaten alive while they're having sex, and it's awesome. Yeah, I know this probably paints me as, some kind of fucking psychopath. It's like, oh, I think it's about murdering math teachers, and it's awesome when people die while having sex. Yeah, we are never gonna get that thing. But yeah, it's...
Well, we just have to avoid anime.
Yeah, that should be easy enough. But yeah, so it is a pretty good series. It goes to an interesting place. I am really hoping that they start updating the manga some more, because the manga is way ahead of where the anime left off.
Yeah.
Because with the anime left off, they had just left the Takagi Homebound. Meanwhile, in the manga, they are, I think, already past, they have gone to, two or three other compounds since leaving the Takagis.
Yeah, there's a really awesome sequence in a mall.
Oh, the mall was so good.
Yeah, that was seriously one of the most heartbreaking things ever.
Oh, God,
when they're leaving.
Oh, yeah, the rookie cop.
Yeah.
Rookie cop Leonis Kennedy in female form.
No Leon Kennedy syndrome for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be the kind of the thing with the show, of them putting a Japanese spin on Western zombie tropes. So you got, the group survivors, and they got, the reluctant leader and all of them, and the dumb blonde with the huge tits. But then again, every female in the show has huge tits, who is, aside from the kid, every single woman in the show has huge tits.
I have to point out, now that you're mentioning the, dumb blonde with the huge tits. I think the jiggling noise that is constantly accompanying her it detracts.
Oh, it definitely does. She was not handled great in the anime.
No, it's totally you've got the serious atmosphere. Yeah, there's some etchy going on, but you got the serious atmosphere of there's zombies taking over the school. We could all die, and then. It's like, I'm not three, okay? I'm not amused by these bouncing noises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, meanwhile, in the manga, I think they do, I think when they first introduce her, it's just a panel close-up of her tits. And then, occasionally when she's, walking around, you see, little, boing, little kanji sign or whatever appear next to her tits. But since it's not audible, and I don't know Japanese, it doesn't distract from everything. It doesn't really, distract that much from everything that's going on. But since it's all audible and shit, it is... way worse in the anime.
Well, but well, that's what you get when you
yes
get a hentai artist to do quote unquote regular manga.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. Like I was just reading that thing. I was like, wait, he does hentai?
yeah, he does. He also did another series, which I think was very short-lived, which was unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just another thing I want to talk about is the boobs. They have some DOA syndrome going on there.
Yeah.
Like, there's one bit later on when, I'm not sure if this is the first five episodes or not, but where they are, like, Takashi has to use, like, a sniper rifle to... a kind of sniper rifle to try to fight the zombies while Psycho is going around beating them all with her wooden sword. But he could get the sniper rifle off of his girlfriend's harness, and so he had to fire it while using her breasts as a support. So as he's shooting, her breasts are jiggling all over the place, and it looks seriously like it's just two plastic bags full of water. And then meanwhile, Psycho, she's doing all that shit, stopping, like, kundus with swords and shit, and there's one bit where she has to, like, lean back to avoid a bullet, and, like, her boobs warp around the bullet.
Yeah, not only do boob physics not work, apparently the first thing to go in the zombie apocalypse will be, bras.
No, they're
actually gonna all disappear.
No, they're wearing bras while this is happening.
Well, but the they bras could say do that their characters are wearing bras, but...
No, they show the characters wearing bras.
I know, it's just, you know, you gotta match it with the physics.
Yeah, I know, it's just, it is insane. But, yeah, the show is awesome. And I really have to do a second season of it. Because showing them all shit, in, like, actually rendered out with all, with everything in motion and with voice acting and everything, that'd be kind of awesome.
Just as long as it's not... constantly accompanied by whoop, whoop, bloop, 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 bloop.
They cut back on that as the series went on.
Because, like, there was this one scene where it just never stopped, and there's this serious conversation going on, but all I hear is bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah, like I said, like, as the show progressed, she does get more serious. Like, she's still kind of like the, kind of character, but it is less blah, blah, blah. It is less dubstep boobs. I bet someone could actually take all like the boob noises from that show and make a sick dubstep remix out of it.
Just call it High School of the Dead dubstep remix.
Yeah. Hot.
Only to show as the song starts that it's the boob sounds.
Yeah. Hot D boobstep. Because that's what the show is shortened to. Hot D.
Yes, I know. It does that in the opening.
Yeah. Hot D, bitches. I guess you guys have anything else you want to talk about with the show?
Nope.
No, I think we're done.
Okay, hey, we're done.
We say we're done, watch my AMV, people!
Oh yeah,
it's
so...
good!
So Bovi's putting out AMVs, and we're also accepting your own AMVs. If you can tweet them to Bovi at BoviWan, or email to him at BoviWan@DestroProducts.com, or post them in the forums.
I will video graveyard that shit.
Yeah, we will put it on the front page.
Front page!
Yeah! Well, yeah, so that can do it for this week. But before we go, so what do you got picks for anime for next week?
I picked the next five episodes of Bakano.
Cannot do that.
What?
It's
what do you mean?
You're gonna watch them anyway.
Wait. Can I pick Dragon Ball Z Abridged?
Maybe. Pudge, what do you think?
I would honestly like to try and keep this to a regular series.
Oh, fine.
To be completely honest.
Okay, yeah, we should probably keep it to regularly released anime. Or manga. And I'm talking about release schedule, regularly released. So yeah, do you guys pick out series, or just like trying to think of something on the spot?
No, I've got a bunch of stuff down. I'm trying to decide which one.
I'm kind of pulling out of my ass. You go first,
anyway,
Budge.
Alright. I figure, you know what? Let's start with something that everybody can easily enjoy, not something I really enjoy and know Dead Man will hate. So let's go with Black Lagoon.
Ooh, Black Lagoon, I love that show.
So... Black Lagoon.
Yeah, yeah, ready, ready, motherfuckers.
Somalian pirates.
Yeah. Rock.
Pretty much.
Can you smell what Rock is cooking?
All right, I'm done.
Okay. Starting next time, I'll pick more unique things, but this week I'm going to say Code Geass.
Code Geass, okay.
For comparison purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, we can... That'll work, I guess. And for me, I'll be going with Hero Man.
All right.
Yes. Yeah, so we should come back next week for when we talk about Code Geass, Black Lagoon, and Hero Man. And we should come back on Friday when we'll be doing, we'll continuing Anime Month with Summer Wars, our commentary of that. Wait, no, that's Death Note first. Sorry, I'm confused.
You're going by the recording schedule.
Yes, I'm going by the recording schedule. I forgot about release schedule. So, yeah, Anime Month starts this Friday with Death Note, the director's cut. It's 2 hours. And Jack sleeps. It's a lot of just us picking out details of everything.
Yeah.
Just nitpicking everything.
Well, unfortunately, well, I'll not talk about that anyways.
Yeah, so as always, you can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow it at DestorProds. I'm at Damon_DDProds. We got at Bovywan and Pudge on Twitter. You can, we're on Facebook. You can like us on there. We're on Google Plus. You can follow us on there. We have a new thing at the bottom of the bar, at the bottom of every post called Share This Shit. We can post it on a bunch of different things. You can post it on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, StumbleUpon, Dig, I think. Yeah, all the good stuffs. So, yeah, please share this, help us spread the word, and leave us some comments, leave us some reviews, leave us anything, really. Let us know how we're doing, what you think of the new format, and what animes you want us to, and what animes or mangas you want to talk about. And if you want, you can send in questions. Because we want any kind of user feedback at all. We want to know we have users.
Woo!
Yeah. Users! Yeah, and also, we should come back on Saturday, when we will be doing... Will we be doing the Battlecast on Saturday? Or will we... Have we decided about that yet?
I think the decision was to kill it, but should we finish off the last one? I don't know, I'm not even going to be here for it. I'll let you decide without me.
Yeah, fuck it. No more Battlecast. Battlecast is cut. They were shit anyway.
Yeah, I'm just going to start doing them by Facebook polls. Start answering the Facebook polls, people.
Yeah, like, the original things for the battles were, like, we picked... I originally introduced those because I was... Because I was unconfident about the size of our anime podcast. And I felt it needed to be artificially lengthened.
You do with most things.
Dick jokes, people.
Yeah. Yes.
Hit the rimshot button. Okay, well, yeah, so Battlecast done. We now only have 6 recorded shows. So, there's that. And hey, yeah, so, Anime Month starts tomorrow, so check that shit out. And till next time, I'm Dead.
I'm Bovywan.
And I'm Pudgetron.
See y'all next time.